I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short. Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. April 4th, 2018 marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. Joining me today in the studio is Carl Seeger Henry to discuss the Martin Luther King assassination, the media cover-up surrounding it, and the 1999 trial that proved that James Earl Ray didn't do it and that it was, yes, actually a conspiracy involving the FBI, the U.S. military, the Memphis police, local citizens, and the mafia. We'll also be discussing the latest book by attorney William Pepper on the assassination of Martin Luther King called The Plot to Kill King, The Truth Behind the Assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which came out in 2016. But first, let me tell you about Carl Seeger Henry. He's a former English teacher and a lifelong musician, a researcher, and an activist. And it's a real pleasure to have him on the show today. Carl Seeger Henry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cheryl. Always a pleasure to join you here in the beautiful environs of WWUH Radio.
Yes, well, great. I'm glad to have you here. So, April 4th, 2018 marks the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. So today on the show, we're going to be discussing that a little bit and why you don't know about the trial that happened in 1999 that proved that everything we've been told about his assassination is a lie. So I'm going to start by reading a poem by author William Pepper, who wrote the book, The Plot to Kill King. And he also wrote the book, An Act of State, which is about that 1999 trial. Here's the poem, and it's at the head of the chapter called Disinformation. Truth smothered with lies suffocates and dies. In our midst, injustice reigns, and despite our plea, liberty wanes. Ignorance abounds throughout the land, programmed well by a hidden hand. But a glimmer survives, a forlorn light, to harbor truth in darkest night.
That's some poem there, Cheryl. That's well put, and I think it's exactly right on. I think in addition to that quote, I would like to offer a quote from then CIA Director William Casey, who in February of 1981 had a meeting with the new secretaries, the cabinet secretaries in the Ronald Reagan administration. And he had the duty, I guess, and the obligation to tell them, and I'm quoting, that we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false.
Yes.
End quote. And I think that's certainly the case, frankly, of all the assassinations that have plagued us through the years and events such as 9/11 and many, many more.
Of the other false flag events. I agree with you. I think we're there.
Except for the people like us that kind of look for alternative viewpoints and do some study. If they're getting the information from their corporate media, it's virtually all false.
I agree. And maybe you could talk a little bit about Operation Mockingbird for the listeners who may not know about that and how that has affected our media.
Excellent point, Cheryl. I think that Operation Mockingbird, number one, it's really good because folks can go online and actually read the CIA Operation Mockingbird so that they can actually see the depth of the entire operation. Essentially, what happened was it was started around 1948. It kind of gained steam through the 50s and kind of reached its zenith when the JFK assassination happened and the media was set up to give us nothing but the official story. Operation Mockingbird seeks to control the message going out to the American people by influencing and virtually infiltrating all the major corporate media outlets so that a high 90%, 99, 98% of every place that people get their news is from corporate media, and Operation Mockingbird ensures that they're getting the right message.
So kind of along those same lines, Carl, with Operation Mockingbird, I'm going to read something from Pepper's book again in this same chapter called Disinformation, where he talks about the media and how they just didn't cover any of the trial. And he says, as I noted earlier, in the 37 years I have been involved with this case, there has been one effort after another to disinform the public about what really happened. Though uniformly this has involved collaboration between the government and the mainstream media, Those activities have taken on a number of forms. Books and articles have been written at various stages. Television documentaries have been produced and shown repeatedly by mainstream media. Radio and television interviews have been aired, focusing on the official story. In contrast, our work was suppressed. For example, there was the use of blackouts or mainstream news embargoes of events associated with our work, such as the 1999 civil trial of the King family versus Jowers. Another such example was the failure of my first two books on the case, Orders to Kill in 1995 and An Act of State in 2003, to be reviewed by the mainstream media. The 1995 book was almost reviewed in the New York Times, whose chief reviewer told the publisher's representative that he was ordered by his editor, for the first time in 27 years, to pull the review. And then he goes on here, he talks about Bill Atwood at the Look magazine wanted to publish a story about it, and he was visited by Averill Harriman, former governor of New York and senior wise man of the Democratic Party, who carried greetings from the president and requested a favor, and the favor was that Look magazine would never publish anything that William Pepper wrote. And then Bill said he told them that he was going to meet with Pepper, and if he liked what he heard and saw, he was going to publish it. And then shortly thereafter, Bill Atwood had a heart attack and left the magazine, and Chandler Brosser, the associate working director who set up the meeting between Atwood and Pepper, was let go, and the article never ran. So you can see how they cover it up and how even the president is sending a message to the paper not to run something. So censorship is alive and well in America.
I think one of the things you mentioned was the 1999 trial of Lloyd Jowers. I think that's one of the most critical points that Americans should know about and don't know about. And the fact that they don't know about, to me and to anyone looking at any kind of obvious logic, is absolute proof of the total control that Operation Mockingbird has on the media. The plot to kill King described the trial that took place in 1999. The King family took Jowers to court. It was a civil action. They sued him for $100, which basically just covered King's burial fees. And they wanted to get on record some of the information that was known on the streets of Memphis, but has never been publicized by our media. Lloyd Jowers owned a kind of a sleazy bar across the street from the Lorraine Motel. The Lorraine Motel was the scene of King's assassination, that the official story said that the lone crazed assassin, James Earl Ray, was able to shoot him on that balcony of that hotel. Well, across the street from the hotel was the Lloyd Jowers Bar. He was using the back room as a meeting place for the true conspirators of that assassination. The trial took 30 days. There were 70 witnesses drawn, and the jury took an hour to find a verdict. They decided for the Martin Luther King family and against Lloyd Jowers. But the really interesting thing about the verdict, it was a written verdict. And in the written verdict, they said that, number one, they exonerated James Earl Ray as the assassin. And they also said that all the evidence showed that the assassination was a conspiracy and it was pulled off by the CIA, the FBI, state and city police, some members of the military, and some mobsters. Now, that's the reason that, of course, the kibosh has been put on that trial. When you think about it, this is the wrongful death trial of someone that we have a national holiday named for. How in the world could nobody in America know about this trial unless there was an absolute blanket cover-up of the entire event?
And I hate to use the word, but it's a conspiracy to cover it up.
It's a full-blown conspiracy to cover it up, exactly.
Right. Right. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit. I'm glad you brought that up. I want to talk a little bit about James Earl Ray's history. And according to William Pepper, the conspirators started in 1966 to plan the assassination of Martin Luther King. And it included J. Edgar Hoover at the time. And he had someone working for him named Tolson, who I think he was also having a relationship with. But this guy would go to Memphis and work with these people. And he was working with people that were in the mob and also in the Klan. And they were also in the Masons, and they were this tight group in the city. It worked with the local police and fire department. People were involved. And in fact, the actual shooter of
Martin Luther King was a guy named Frank Strausser, who was a police officer in the city. So James Earl Ray was already in prison for something, and they were looking for a patsy, so they went to the Missouri prison system, and they asked them if there was a guy that they could help escape who could serve good as a patsy, like he would follow orders and do what they said. So they came up with James Earl Ray, and they arranged it so he could escape. So he escapes from prison. I mean, they planned this in advance. So this is all, they wanted him to be the patsy for Martin Luther King.
Exactly. This was not just a spur-of-the-moment activity. It was well planned out.
Right. And so James Earl Ray goes to Canada, where he meets this guy, Raoul, who then follows him and takes him. They were going to actually do the assassination in Los Angeles at first, but they decided against it because they didn't want two assassinations in the same state, and they had killed Bobby Kennedy in California. So then they moved it to Memphis. And they also went to the military and asked them to come up with a sniper team. In case Frank Strausser's bullet didn't do the job, they had snipers on the building rooftops across the street ready to take him out in case that failed.
Just in case.
And so they had four of them. And actually, after the assassination, several of them fled to Mexico as they were afraid for their own lives because they knew about all of this. So James Earl Ray is then framed for this, and he's told to buy a gun, and he goes and he buys the wrong gun, and the guy makes him go back and buy a gun that they could say was used in the assassination. So he was really set up. And on the day of the actual assassination, he was told to go to the movies, but he had a flat tire or something, so he wound up going to a garage. And so he was busy doing all this. He was nowhere near the assassination site. And of course, then he's framed and put in jail for this. So anyway, I just want people to know that this was totally plotted and planned by, you know, local police, the FBI, who knows how far up in the government that went,
right,
working with the mafia. So this is not a simple matter, and what really annoys me is every January, they celebrate the birth of Martin Luther King.
Yes.
You know, all our public officials get up there and they say all these great things, but nobody ever talks about this. Nobody, they probably don't even know about this.
They probably don't even know about it.
And if they can do this with Martin Luther King, we know there's a lot of evidence that the Kennedy assassination isn't what they told us, right?
Right.
And then if you look at how they've covered up 9/11, and I would say very sloppily, actually, this changed our system. If they get away with this, they're going to keep doing it. And that's why I think it's really important for Americans to look at this, to know what really happened, because if they keep getting away with this, they're going to keep doing it.
Exactly. I think there are areas of encouragement for us, and probably the biggest boon to the expression of truth is the internet, because all of a sudden now we have a wealth of information available. We can see various opinions. We're not just tied to the Operation Mockingbird control corporate media, because they are certainly never going to speak of this. This will never appear anyway, anywhere in their broadcast on Martin Luther King Day. And it's, you know, it's heartbreaking. I go on a media blackout on Martin Luther King Day because I can't stand watching the media not talk about what really happened. It's infuriating, it's disappointing, and it's just so important that the American people know what's going on, because so far we don't know. But more and more people are becoming enlightened, and it's kind of encouraging because you see this awakening happening really across
right.
our country and across
right.
the world.
And I think the elite are really afraid of this because they are really cracking down on they're removing websites. They have Facebook and Twitter and Google. You have Congress telling them, you know, Congress members have a meeting with them telling them to censor more. I mean, what's that all about?
I know.
And they're doing it. And I know after the Mandalay Bay event in Las Vegas, so many people now are aware of this that all the eyewitnesses were putting up videos and talking about how there was more
right.
than one shooter, and they kind of couldn't control that.
Exactly.
So then with the latest Parkland, Florida one, you don't see half of that. They are really taking everything down before mm-hmm. it can get up there. So our ability to learn about what's really going on is being threatened, and people should be really aware of that. I do want to just continue a little bit with James Earl Ray.
Sure.
Because he was totally innocent, and William Pepper got involved in the trial and interviewed him in prison and was convinced that he was innocent. And that later came out and was proven with all these details. But he also had liver disease, and William Pepper had arranged for him to have a liver transplant in Pennsylvania. The doctor was ready to do it, and the prison system wouldn't let him go and do it. And that was basically a death sentence for him. And he actually died before the trials.
Yeah.
But he was exonerated. I also wanted to talk about Dr. William Pepper, this attorney who has done these 37 years plus of research into this. And if it weren't for him, none of this information would be out there. We wouldn't have had the trial. So we really owe him a great debt to truth and transparency. And he actually, when he started doing this, he actually had death threats and had to move his family to England in 1981. And he would travel back and forth to do his work on the case. But he had young children, and they were getting threatening phone calls to the kids when they answered the phone. So he moved his family there for safety. So that just shows how undemocratic our country is if you can't be looking into these things without getting death threats.
I think William Pepper will go down when all of this boils over and comes out as really one of the greatest heroes in American history. As a matter of fact, I have a fantasy about a new Mount Rushmore. And on the new Mount Rushmore, we have the unbelievably courageous people that have gone up against scorn, ridicule, sometimes physical threats, health threats. They've had their families harassed. And so many people in the entire truth movement really have taken very courageous steps to speak the truth. And on my new Mount Rushmore, certainly William Pepper's profile would be up there. I would also put Richard Gage, who was a founder of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, up on that mountainside. And Cheryl, I guess I'd have to put you up there too.
Oh, wow. At least
on the little Connecticut molehill.
Exactly.
We'll have our Connecticut heroes that have really spent their life getting at and trying to encourage truth and freedom in our country.
Thank you. I consider that a real honor. And I like that idea, though, of a new Mount Rushmore.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, you'd be on the Connecticut molehill.
Well, I would put you there too, Carl, because you've done a lot of work, and you go on certain radio stations and tell the truth on a variety of topics, and I really appreciate that. Okay, maybe you could tell us a bit about that?
Sure, yeah. I've kind of been billed as Controversial Carl, and I go on to several broadcasts, and I try to talk about whatever topic is hot. Sometimes it pertains to what's happening as far as the calendar goes. For instance, on Martin Luther King Day, I'm always trying to speak about the trial of Lloyd Jowers. I discuss 9/11 truth, geoengineering, which is weather modification, and chemtrails, and just generally Operation Mockingbird and how important it is for other voices to be heard to let our population be educated to alternative viewpoints.
Yeah, and that's really great. And I'm actually surprised that you get these invitations, but I'm really thrilled that you do. And you do a great job. So
thank you very much.
Yeah. And when I say I'm surprised, it's because these are the more mainstream outlets, more corporately controlled. That's why I'm surprised that they're inviting you on. I also wanted to talk a little bit about Jesse Jackson, because in this book, The Plot to Kill King by Dr. William Pepper, he says that Jesse Jackson actually was an FBI informant. And on the day of the assassination, Jesse Jackson was the one, there was a band in the that was following Martin Luther King that was called the Invaders, and they were in the Lorraine Motel, and Jesse Jackson was the one who went in and told them that the Southern Christian Leadership Council, the SCLC, was paying for this, and he told them they were no longer going to be paying for them and that they had to leave immediately. So he got them out of the hotel before the assassination happened.
Right.
So if you think about that, you know, they do reward people who work with them. If you see how Jesse Jackson has risen in he has national notoriety, et cetera.
Yeah, how much publicity has Jesse Jackson gotten over the years? And he's kind of been billed as a hero to Black America, you know. And in many cases, when you look at the history of the entire King assassination, he's anything but a hero. He was instrumental in helping pull the entire affair off.
You know, on this 50th anniversary of his assassination of Martin Luther King, I wish people would really reflect on what we lost in all of those assassinations in the 60s, you know, what we lost, because these were people talking about, they were against the Vietnam War, Kennedy and Martin Luther King, against big business. I mean, wanting for people truth and justice and economic stability for people.
Exactly.
And we lost all of that. And who is going to then take the leadership role when they see what happens if you do?
It's a very disquieting circumstance when everyone is discouraged because they seem to think it's impossible to buck. However, you know, the internet is here and people are awakening. I think there's a grand awakening happening across our country.
Right.
I do a lot of research into some of the events that are going on now, and it's absolutely stunning to me how many more people are involved in all of these events. I think one of the most encouraging things, I just did a book review of a teenage novel called Truthers. And this novel, the protagonist is a 16-year-old girl. And in the process of doing this review, apparently a lot of the young kids, they are really conspiracy nuts. They don't get their information from corporate media. They get all of their information online, which means they're exposed to all of these alternative viewpoints. And that means, of course, that they can look at what seems to make sense, what seems to be logical, and what seems to fit a pattern. And they don't care what the establishment is telling them they have to believe, they're willing to make their own judgments.
Right, and I actually interviewed Jeffrey Girard about that book, and he said his students, that's what they want to know. They want to know the conspiracy stuff. Like these kids, once you go online or wherever your sources are, I like reading books too. I think those are great sources, but you have to know which books to get.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to read the CIA-promoted books like Gerald Posner or somebody like that. But once you know how it works, once you get how you're lied to, then they can't really lie to you so much anymore because you're kind of aware of it, you know. So it's really important to develop that sort of media savvy, I would have to say.
It really is. I know a lot of times, for instance, I subscribe to the Hartford Courant, which I describe as America's oldest continuously published fake newspaper. And it's just astonishing how they slant the news. Much of their content is reprinted from the Washington Post, which, of course, has been totally supported by the CIA through the last 20 years or so. And all they get right now, everything is, it's just unbelievably anti-Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 99.9% Trump is a lunatic, Trump is this, Trump's that. And they're just doing everything possible to turn, in the case of the Courant, the people in Connecticut's mind and opinions against Donald Trump. So it's, you can see how they set up their stories. You can see how they frame their arguments. You look at their editorial cartoons. You look at their letters to the mm-hmm. editor. And virtually none of them are pro-Trump. They're,
right.
they're
and
all
I,
against Trump.
And I'm not a big Trump supporter, but I do think that the media has gone over the top with it. And it looks like, you know, they're all on the same page, all
they're
the corporate media.
They're all on the same page.
And, you know, become very politicized rather than just telling us facts and truth. So it is discouraging to see that.
Well, I think if you're going to have any convictions pro-Trump, one of the main reasons you may want to do that is simply because everybody that we know that are people that are not truthful are against Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mass of the corporate media do everything possible to make him look as bad as possible. And, you know, that well, to me says something right, there. There's got to be something going on.
Yeah, I agree. That makes sense. And one thing I do appreciate about Trump is that he calls them fake news. And he's not afraid to say that. And that, you know, in spite of all the other things I don't like about him, I really do appreciate mm-hmm. that he does that. But, you know, none of our presidents have been so wonderful in the last, since the Kennedy assassination. They've all been puppets, really. And Trump may not be a puppet. I mean, I don't like a lot of his politics, but he's not. Doesn't seem to be a puppet. I don't know.
He certainly doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be a puppet, if only because mm-hmm. everybody in the media is against him.
Right.
And
that
I think that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, Carl, I know you have written a song about 9/11 called Building 7, The Smoking Gun. And I know now you're interested in doing something with the Martin Luther King assassination, some kind of music. So could you tell us a bit about that?
Because there's been such a dearth of information on the trial of Lloyd Jowers, and because it's such a revelation for people that actually finally hear about it, I think it would be a great topic for a song to cover what happened with this trial and how it affects America. And I also think that the best way to do it is to present it in a jazz idiom for a couple of reasons. Number one, jazz is much more of a subculture in American pop music. There are stations like University of Hartford that play a lot of jazz material. And these stations are not necessarily the big commercial corporate stations, but largely they're smaller independent stations, they're college stations. So there is a way, there is at least a means to get a song like this, because it's a jazz tune, out over the airways and reach other people. I've done some outreach to various jazz societies and jazz musical groups to let them know that I think this song would be a tremendous topic. One of the most important songs that was recorded in the last century was a song called Strange Fruit. The hit was recorded by Billie Holiday, and it was put out in 1939. Strange Fruit was an extremely controversial song when it came out. The Strange Fruit represents the bodies of African Americans as they're hung from the trees during lynchings.
Mm.
And the arrangement and the lyric just stunned America when it came out. In fact, let me give you a couple of the lines from the song. Southern trees bear strange fruit, blood on the leaves, blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. So for Billie Holiday to sing this took tremendous courage, and I think the topic of the trial of Lloyd Jowers is every bit as important as Strange Fruit. In this case, for this century, it could be that important, that iconic, that strong of an emotional song. So if there's any jazz musicians out there that might consider doing this, boy, I'd love to talk with them about it. I can certainly provide, at the very least, lyrical content or lyrical help, And this would be a great story to get out. I think the proper jazz arrangements of a song as this, once people hear it, they would be blown away. And it's a topic unlike any other topic mm-hmm. they could sing about.
So if anyone is interested in working with you on that and collaborating with you on that, how can they reach you?
The best way to reach me is either by telephone at 860-515-3343, or you can email me at JP Carl Henry. That's like Justice of the Peace, Carl with a C, Henry, JP Carl Henry at cox.net. And musicians, I'd love to talk with you about it. Let's explore the possibilities. It could be a song that could shape a generation.
Yeah, and Carl is a great musician, so working with him will be a joy for you. So please give him a call or an email. Carl, just wrapping this up, I want to talk a bit more about The Plot to Kill King, The Truth Behind the Assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. by Dr. William Pepper. I encourage every American to get this book and read it. Ask your library to carry it and get it from them, because every library should have this. And take a copy of this book to the January Martin Luther King celebrations and kind of speak truth to these people. People need to know this. And I just wanted to talk about, before Martin Luther King was shot, he was at the Lorraine Motel. He was shot at about 6:01 p.m. on April 4th of 1968. It was reported by hospital employees that there were a lot of military intelligence men arriving at the hospital before he was shot. And then it was arranged ahead of time that he would go to St. Joseph's Hospital, because the head surgeon there was with these conspirators and wasn't going to let Martin Luther King leave alive if the shot didn't kill him. So Martin Luther King is taken to the hospital with all these military intelligence people around. The emergency room people did a tracheotomy on him because he was shot in the chin and it went through his neck. And then this lead surgeon comes in, and his name was Breen Brand, Dr. Breen Brand. And he came in and he told everyone to get out. And he said something to the effect of, "Let this nigger die." And then they did no more procedures on him. And it was also reported by a nurse there that that same doctor took a pillow and actually smothered Martin Luther King, because he didn't die from the shot. Now, he probably would have eventually, but they smothered him to death. And people should know this. What we've been told is totally fabricated, totally false. And the fact that the media hasn't told you any of this trial or any of the information in this new book is just incredible to me. I mean, this is, you know, a guy, as you said, we honor yearly as one, a great American, and nobody is talking about this. And that kind of, as you said, just sheds a little bit of light on just how controlled and censored our media is. And if
exactly.
you think you're getting the truth on anything, you're not. As with 9/11, as with a lot of the recent attacks around America and in Europe, you're not getting the truth about those. And so we hope you'll do a little bit of research. And Carl, maybe you could tell the people, what are some of your favorite websites to go to for some alternative media? One of my favorite websites is globalresearch.ca for a kind of geopolitical look at things. I also really like Sibel Edmonds, her website, which is now newsbud.com, I believe it is. And then James Corbett, thecorbettreport.com, are three of my favorites.
Some of my favorite websites that I check in with frequently are, one is called geoengineeringwatch.org. That's geoengineeringwatch.org. And that is a site dedicated to exposing the truth about geoengineering and weather modification that's happening.
And weaponized weather.
And weaponized
yeah.
weather.
Yeah.
And people know nothing at all about this. I know when I've gone on the air, one of the nice things about bringing up chemtrails is that people can, on most days, go outside and see them above their heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's some abstract conspiracy theory. They can look up, and there they are, crisscrossing the skies. So that's a really cool website. I know there's a couple of great 9/11 Truth websites. The one that I've written several articles for is 911tap.org, which stands for the Truth Action Project. I have some of my musical endeavors are up on that website, a review of the book Truthers that we mentioned before, and a few other items. So there are plenty of great websites out there to check out.
Yeah, and the other one I wanted to mention that you about 9/11 was Architects and Engineers for 9/11truth.org,
exactly.
where there's close to 3,000 architects and engineers who have examined the collapse of the towers and say it was definitely controlled demolition. They have found samples of nanothermite in the dust and all that, which you're never going to hear in the corporate media. So please check those out if you want to know what's really going on, because you're not getting that from the corporate mainstream media.
All excellent suggestions, Cheryl.
And I do want to say, read books. I have to say, I know maybe people don't do that anymore, but if you read this book, The Plot to Kill King, The Truth Behind the Assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. by Dr. William Pepper,
Your outlook on life will be changed forever. It's just it's such a sobering eye-opener.
And half of the book is documents. He's copied every document he had in the transcripts from interviews with people. So you don't have to just take his word for it. No. It's right there. It's all there. This book is a treasure of truth and honesty at how our system really works.
Exactly.
Yeah. Carl, I really want to thank you for being on the show today. Is there any thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
Just keep on speaking truth to power, Cheryl. You're a real beacon of light for us, and we really appreciate all the work that you do here on WWH-FM.
Well, thank you very much, Carl, and likewise to you. I appreciate all the work that you do.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.